Hi, and welcome to Write Better Now, a podcast of quick weekly writing tips meant to help you become a better writer.
We're your hosts, and I'm here with New York Times bestselling author Carrie Jones and wife extraordinaire.
And I'm here with copy editor extraordinaire Sean Farrar.
Thank you for joining us. So, babe, what are we learning today?
Well, today we're learning about foreshadowing and how to use foreshadowing in your story's opener like a boss.
Oh, sweet.
I know, man. So one of the coolest things you can do when writing fiction or longer nonfiction or even shorter nonfiction, actually, is to foreshadow the ending of your story in the beginning of your story. What?
Just take my brain a minute to catch up with the ending and the beginning, but it's the ending right, being foreshadowed in the beginning. I got it. Thanks.
At the beginning is where your story starts.
Oh, really?
The ending is where it stops. Sorry.
That's all right.
We can't Smart help teasing Alec. You. All right. So foreshadowing, according to litcharts.com, is...
A literary device in which authors hint at plot developments that don't actually occur until later in the story. Foreshadowing can be achieved directly or indirectly by making explicit statements or leaving subtle clues about what will happen later in the text. The Russian author Anton Chekhov summarized foreshadowing when he wrote, "If you say in the first chapter that there is a rifle hanging on the wall, in the second or third chapter... it absolutely must go off." The description of the gun on the wall, in other words, should foreshadow its later use.
So basically, you want to tell the reader that something is going to happen and give them a clue about what it might be. And so that clue is the words that you write in the beginning of the story, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So foreshadowing can be subtle, mysterious, or direct, like Sean. Over on the Readsy blog, they shrink the types of foreshadowing to two.
Direct and indirect.
And then they explain them as follows.
Direct foreshadowing occurs when an outcome is directly hinted at or indicated. It gives readers a nugget of information, prompting them to want more. Indirect foreshadowing occurs when an outcome is indirectly hinted at or indicted. Or indicated, even.
Yeah. They were indicted, but we're going to fix their typo. Indicated.
It subtly
That's
nods.
That's why you are the copy editor extraordinaire.
It subtly nods at a future event, but is typically only apparent to readers after that outcome or event has occurred.
Dude, that was hysterical.
Yeah.
I love finding typos in other people's blogs. All right, so foreshadowing, when it's direct, can be a fantastic way to hook the reader into wanting to gobble up the story. A great example that they use is Lauren Oliver's novel, Before I Die, which opens with...
They say that just before you die, your whole life flashes before your eyes. But that's not how it happened for me.
So the reader knows that the narrator is going to die, and they want to know how, right? That's a pretty direct... foreshadowing.
That is very direct.
Right. But an indirect style of foreshadowing can be something as simple as...
The air grew chill as I walked toward the beach. Winter is coming.
So, we know the air is chill and that the cold is coming, so we indirectly think...
Oh, something is going to happen because it's cold and winter is almost here, and someone's probably going to die.
Because winter usually symbolizes death in our culture, and the symbols of our culture can carry a lot of metaphorical and foreshadowing weight in our stories. So we want to use it like a boss, and give the readers a little winky wink so that they are hooked into that story, but also feel like they are figuring out the story as they go along. It's pretty cool. Like, we always think of mystery writers doing it.
Right.
But just like Chekhov says, we all should be doing it if we want to write like a boss. And... the way we do that is put things in, like there's a gun on the, a rifle on the wall in that first paragraph.
And then not forget that you foreshadowed that when you get towards the end of the book.
No. Writers try not to be stoners.
Turns out he was killed with a knife.
No. No, part of it is you build your world, but your world has to be something that you remember. If you don't remember it, your readers aren't going to remember it either.
That's for sure.
There you go. Super quick, right?
Quick. Down and dirty, baby.
Down and dirty writing tips. Once a week.
Ooh-wee.
Hang out with us.
That's it. Once a week.
Once a week, man.
Sounds like my quota.
Oh, no. How can you make everything naughty?
I didn't. It could have been a quota for anything.
Oh, you're such a liar.
Eating.
That's the only thing you can think of.
Hey. Thanks for listening to Write Better Now. These podcasts and more writing tips are on Carrie's website, carriejonesbooks.blog. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or share this podcast.
There's a donation button over there on my blog and lots of other content. And honest to goodness, I sound like such a mama. Honest to goodness, even a dollar inspires us to do a happy dance. So, thank you for your support. The music that you hear is made available through the Creative Commons, and
it's a bit of a shortened track from the fantastic Mr. Ruiz, and this track is Arctic Air off the album Winter Haze, Summer Days. So that brings us smoke. You got weed themed music on our stuff, honey.
All our podcasts.
Rogue for Spleef.
Hey, and if you like this podcast,
Summer Spleef.
You can listen to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, or Carrie Does Poems, or Loving the Strange. Thanks for listening.
The other two are funny. This one's serious.
So serious.